You know, it is an amazing psalm. Very familiar, but sometimes when something's really familiar, we just allow the truth to brush over us. Oh yeah, I know Psalm 23. Oh yeah, I've heard sermons on Psalm 23. Oh yes, I know what's going to be said. And all that familiarity can breed contempt to what is a beautiful, beautiful psalm. So this is a psalm of David. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to be back. We had 8 amazing days, 2 days of travel, I guess, most of the day. And then we got back last night and just an amazing time. Probably, yeah, it gets better and better as we go, really. We build on what we've done before. And my highlight, though, was we did a boys' chapel, 16 to 18-year-olds. And they were a bit of a rowdy bunch, really, these boys. And there was over 1,000 of them. So I thought, okay, well, this is good. 1,000 young men to talk to. And just to hear 1,000 young men shout out to me, I must be born again. I must be born again. And, you know, we played a little bit with their rowdiness. We thought, well, they're not going to be quiet. I must be born again, loud, I must be born again. And then they just went quiet as we talked to them about Jesus. Just fantastic. And, you know, there were some really, really good times there. The team did excellent. Ilgu just organized it so well. Just it was a great opportunity. If you ever get the opportunity to go on mission, I would just encourage you to do so. Because it's just amazing. It's amazing what God can do. But that was probably my highlight, the singing and preaching to about. Also, the boys when they sung, it was just great. So, me and Graham, as they were filing in, there was like 8 or 9 boys that they were the back of the bus crowd. I said to Graham, let's go and talk with the back of the bus crowd. You know, if you know what the back of the bus is, you know, it's where all the cool, naughty boys. So we went up to talk to them, and I just was humbled because the first 3 that I said to is, what do you want to do when you go to, because they were in the highest year, and they all were going to go to the theology college because they all wanted to be pastors. Could you imagine going to the local comprehensive and saying, what would you like to be? Well, I'd like to win X Factor, or I'd like to serve Jesus and lay my life down and follow him and become a preacher of the living word. 3 of them. So I came back. I sort of just had to say, you know, we shouldn't judge books by their cover. So, wow, wonderful to be back. I love this church. And, you know, it was amazing, as Graham said, standing in a church of, you know, thousands and thinking that Welsh missionaries gave their lives for this and they never saw it. And yet we can go there and we can see it. Just amazing. So we'll give a fuller report to the church shortly. I was up at 3 this morning and I had 2 weeks ago sermon, if you remember. Kelly messed up my timetable, so that went away. And I could have preached that, and I was up, and I just had a few thoughts, really, and then I thought, oh, Kelly's going to mess up my timetable again, so we'll get rid of that, but she didn't. I like it when she messes things up, don't you? Should we just thank Kelly for stepping in today? We kind of want God to mess our world up a bit more, don't we? Yeah. We kind of want God to break in a bit more. We want to see him healing, and healing people who are sick and saving people who are lost, you know, and sometimes that gets a bit messy. So the Lord is my shepherd. Just, you know, you have to change your concept. Who remembers One Man and His Dog on TV? Okay, in the days before, in the olden days, we used to have 4 channels. Or 3, in fact. I go back to 3 channels. Some of you go back to 1 channel. BBC One, BBC Two and ITV. And about 6 o'clock on BBC One, you'd have the news. And on ITV, you'd have the news. And on BBC Two, we used to have this amazing program called One Man and His Dog. And because there was no choice, millions of us used to tune in to watch this man with his dog, and what the dog would do is herd sheep. Who remembers it? Who misses it? Who misses the old days, you know? Now you go on, you stream online, there's like a billion channels and a billion programs, all trying to get your attention. You can't imagine a man and his dog, you know, having 5 million people view it or whatever it would have been. But we did in the olden days. One man and his dog, and this dog, this man was a shepherd and it was his dog, and it was the same. He'd whistle this and he'd whistle that. The dog would run around and he'd get the sheep to do this and do that. And you know how dogs get sheep to do what they want? Is they just a little nip, and they just, the Lord is my shepherd. We're not talking about a Welsh sheep herder. It's different, because what the shepherd used to do was call his sheep, come, and he would lead the sheep and the sheep would follow him. No dogs, just because they knew his voice. And you know, we'll have this picture of sheep being really stupid, but they're not stupid. They actually recognize people and they recognize voices of people. And in the Middle East, the shepherd would bring the sheep up and they would know it. So his day would start by leading out the sheep from the fold, and they would go out and he would find pasture for them and water for them, and he'd spend the whole day with them, and he would make sure the ones that wandered off a little bit too far, he'd go and bring them back to the flock, and he would protect them from the predators, the lions, the tigers and bears. I don't know if they had tigers back in Palestine, but you know. And it's like, that's a shepherd all day, every day with the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. And I read Psalm 100 where it says we are the sheep of his pasture. The Bible describes his people as sheep, and he is the shepherd. We are the sheep. Look, turn with me. Keep your fingers in Psalm 23. Turn with me to John chapter 10. And you can read, this is the passage of Jesus the Good Shepherd, but I just want to read from verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Excuse me. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. So when we're talking about a shepherd, we're really talking about the Good Shepherd. And what stands the Good Shepherd out is he will be willing to lay down his life for the sheep. And we understand the Good Shepherd became our Passover lamb and died on a cross to lay his life down for me, so that his blood would flow to cleanse me of my sin, so I could come and be reconciled with the Father. He is the Good Shepherd. Not only will he lay down his life for his sheep, he has laid down his life for his sheep. And that's who we're talking about now. The Good Shepherd, the one who died for you, the one who died for me, the one who went to Calvary, and he knows me and he knows you. And what's amazing, he knows everything about me, everything I've done, everything, everywhere I've been, and he knows all my shortcomings, all my faults, all everything, all the things I'm ashamed of, and yet he still loves me, he still died for me, and he came for me and called me by name. And the Bible says, you did not choose him, but he chose you. And he chose you that you would bear much fruit. This is the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's go back to Psalm 23. The shepherd provides for the sheep. Do you know, a good shepherd doesn't have sheep who say, I want this and I want that, I want this, I want that, I want that, and I want this and I want that. No. The sheep receive green pastures and still water. And they're content. And there's something for us about being content, whether we abound or we abase. There's a place of contentment, and out of the place of contentment, we get all we want. It's interesting. It doesn't say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in need. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so some amazing blessings have come to me I've told you my life, you know my life. I'm not going to repeat myself too much, although I'm sure I will at some point. But it's like God just cares about the little details in our life, and he just blesses us, just really blesses us with just amazing things. It's just like for my 50th birthday party, 50th birthday, in all my life, I've only ever regretted not going to one pop concert or concert. All my life. And that was when Dire Straits came to Cardiff in 1984. And you know, the reason I never went, we just didn't have the money. All my life. It wasn't 84, it was 94, I think. We were here, weren't we? So we were married. So it was about 94. But for my 50th, somebody took me by surprise. They surprised me. And they took me to see a Dire Straits tribute act, because that's the closest you're going to get, a video of the real thing or a tribute act of the real thing. And it was just like, wow, this is one of the nicest birthday presents I've ever had. And I remember saying to them, I said, you are the goodness of God to me. And the particular individual is not a Christian. And he said, well, you may say that, but I certainly wouldn't. But it's like, just I can just see how God knows what I want. And he just blesses me with it. Philippians 4 verse 19 says, my God shall supply you every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. But that's every need. Financial need, practical need, physical need, spiritual need. Needs of your soul, everything, your emotional needs. God has got covenant with his people, and he says, if you need it, I've got it, and I'll give it to you. So not only does he cover some of the wants, covers the needs as well. He's very active. And there is provision for his will. So whatever his will is, there is provision for it. So for example, we just came we just come back from Korea, and to go to Korea, everybody had to pay £1,000. And, you know, I was saying to people who were considering going that they were saying, well, £1,000, can I afford it? And I said, you've got things the wrong way round. Is God asking you to go? And then the question isn't, can I afford it? Can I trust him? Can I trust him? Can I trust him? Wherever his will is, there is provision for his will. Whatever God calls us to do, there is provision. But sometimes we've got to take that step of faith and just believe. Number two, verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. See, the shepherd's job is to take me to pastures and waters. That the shepherd's job is to fulfill his promise to provide by taking me to pastures green. He leads me. And we need to allow God to lead us, and that takes faith. I talked to a university student class just on the weekend, last weekend, and I was comparing Matthew the tax collector with the rich young ruler. And Jesus said the same to both of them. He said to Matthew, follow me. And the Bible says, immediately Matthew left his table with all his money on, and off he went to follow Jesus. But when the rich young ruler, Jesus said to him, one thing you lack is sell everything you have and come and follow me. He went away saddened because he owned much stuff. Sometimes our stuff gets in the way of what Jesus wants for us. You know, sometimes we just got to let go to get God. And it's like, get is the wrong word. Let go to receive what God has for us. And it takes faith. The difference was Matthew saw something in the words from Jesus, follow me, that allowed him to leave everything. The rich young ruler didn't see something. He didn't hear something. So he was stuck with what he had. But God wants to lead you. God wants you to follow him. Do you know why we came to Wales? God called us. Do you know why we've got Welsh children? Because God called us to Wales and he wanted us to have the best types of children, you know. Three Welsh daughters rather than three from the other side of the bridge daughters. Which they could have been. They could have been. It was, you know, because I married an English woman that I love very much, but God knew best. And he brought us to Wales. He brought us to Wales because there's purpose and destiny and a future and a hope for us here in Wales. And we're going to see the things that are in our hearts manifest and come about. And that's why we're in Wales. Amen. And you're not here by accident. You should be here by design. You know, there's Gwyn. He's working in North Wales. I mean, every day he had to look in people's mouths. Every day. Don't you feel sorry for him? Every day. I think the Lord felt sorry for him and said, we're going to bring that young man down to South Wales to come and be part of the Vine Christian Centre because we're going to use it to change Wales. And he got a release. But you know, for him to do that, he could have been like the rich young ruler. And he could have said, well, look what I'm going to lose to follow Jesus. I'm going to lose my practice. I'm going to lose my reputation. I'm going to lose my profession. I'm going to lose my income. I'm going to lose all of this. But he saw something in Jesus that said, it matters nothing to me. I'm going to follow Jesus. And for that, we honor him. And we are thankful to God that he did that. But the Lord leads us to get to the pastures green. You have to follow. And when you follow, it's not always just like a walk in the park. Sometimes you go through fire. Sometimes you go through the waters. But the other side is pastures green. When we were called to Wales, we had nothing. But God made sure that we wanted for nothing. It takes faith to follow God. It really does. You know, in Hebrews it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called, even though he didn't know where he was going. Do you know, when we came across the bridge, we knew the geographic area. My mother lived in Bridgend. We knew Bridgend. But we didn't know what God was going to do with us. We didn't know where God was going to take us. We couldn't imagine the things we were going to do, the things that he's done over the last 30 years. Do you know, it's just, but I went by faith, knowing that if I follow him, if I make the trip across the bridge. And you know, when we got here, I was here for about 18 months, 2 years before I got itchy feet. Do you know, I'm a child of the colonies. I grew up in the last of the British Empire, you know. And I'd come back to Bridgend and I just wanted to leave. And I got it in my head that Japan was the place I should go. And I said to Jane, oh, let's pursue Japan. We can get career breaks. We could do something. And she humored me and she said, well, you know, she never got to the place where we had to make a decision because God spoke. And he said, I haven't called you to Japan. I've called you to Wales. And you know what? I smile about those days with Japan. And because last week, I'm in Korea, South Korea. I could never imagine that God would take me to South Korea 5 times in 5 years to preach to thousands and thousands of people. Couldn't imagine it. But when I left London to come to Wales, I knew I was going to go on an adventure. I knew there were pastures green. I knew there was still water. But it takes faith. And God is looking for us to be a people of faith, that we will trust him at his word and we will follow his voice. The best adventures are the adventures of faith. Verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, God is in the business. When you get born again, your spirit is it comes alive to Christ. You were dead, now you're alive. You're born from above, but you're born from above in a battered soul body. And God wants to restore that soul. It's a bit like if you break an arm You go to the doctor, they put it in a splint, and it heals. But when you get your heart broken, when you get your heart trodden, when you get bullied, when you get just all this stuff happens, there's no plaster that helps. And antidepressants just hide things. But there's a God in heaven who's seen every tear, every hurt, every pain, and all the damage that life has put in us. And he says, I'm going to restore that one. It's a bit like in my garden, if I put a paving stone on the grass and leave it there, and go back 3 weeks later and I pull it up, all the grass looks dead, but it bounces back. God wants to restore your soul so you'll bounce back. So you'll be the person he created you to be. So you'll become everything that he could see. Do you know, some people... Let me move on, sorry. But he restores souls. But he's in the business of restoration. He wants to restore marriages, restore families, restore health, restore churches, restore finances, restore us to all that he's created us to be. He is the God of restoration. And then it says, he leads me by the paths of righteousness. And I say this really, there's only one way with God, his way. We live in a nation and we live in a country where everybody does what's right in their own eyes. Well, I want to, or I feel like it, or I desire it. And providing you don't break the law or hurt anybody, or I'll just do it. Everything right in my own eyes. And it leads to chaos, and it leads to broken lives, and it leads to all sorts of things. And we've got something just, but God leads us in righteous paths. And if we want God to restore us, we have to choose his paths. You know, the word is his manual for how to live. You want to know how to live? Read the word of God. But reading it isn't enough. We've got to do it. You know, I've made it my life's ambition to love people. And I don't always get it right. But I know that's what God wants me to do. And I think if the church could do two things, love the Lord their God with all the might, strength and power, and love them, their neighbor as themselves, those two things that Jesus talks about, we'd like glow in the dark. We glow in the dark. Wow, they're the love crowd. There is a right way and there is a wrong way. And God is saying he leads us in righteousness. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All the wants, all the things you want God to do, all the desires of heart you have. It's like, let's put the kingdom first. The kingdom is the rule of God. Allow him to become Lord of our life. And righteousness is the way of God, to live in accordance with his ways. Verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Have you ever gone through a situation in life where you just think, I just want to die. I want to escape this life. I want to escape this thing. And it's like, that's the shadow of the valley. You know, and there's times where I just wish I could go and be with Jesus. No, I'm not suicidal. I don't want to die, and I'm not going to kill myself or anything like that. But it's just that it is so hard. Life is so tough. It's so difficult that an escape would be really nice if I could have one. And God says, even though you go through those times, you'll not fear, because I'll be with you. And you know, some of those toughest times I've ever gone through in my life, he is with me. And he does something in those tough times, in that it's like he grows me, he changes me, he helps me, he just causes me to become more like Christ. He'll never leave you, He'll never forsake you. If you are going through a tough time now, he is there with you right in the middle of it. And he says, you don't have to fear. I will fear no evil. Do you know I don't know who the super sheep were. If you were a sheep in the flock of David, that would be pretty cool, I think. King David. Because when King David comes to Saul, the king, and he says, I'll take down Goliath for you. Saul says, you're just a boy. But David says, when I watched the flocks, I fought a bear and I fought a lion. In fact, I'll quote you. I wrote it down here. Your servant used to keep the sheep for his father. And when there was a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him. I struck him, delivered it out of his mouth, and if he arose against me, I caught him by the beard, I struck him and killed him. Imagine being, that's my shepherd. That's my shepherd. You mess with me, bear. You gotta look after David. He'll come after you. And it's interesting. It doesn't say, when they snatched me and off I, it says he went after the bear. He didn't run for the bear, from the bear. And that's what it's like with God. It's when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because his rod and his staff, that they protect me. They're with me. And that's why, do you know, it is really, I warn you, don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. Because you mess with me, you mess with my family. And do you know who's the head of my family? God. The creator of heaven and earth. And people have tried messing with the church, coming against the church, and it always produces the opposite effect. The church gets stronger, lighter and brighter, and has more impact in the nation. David provides us with this picture of a super shepherd. It's a picture of Christ. Christ lays down his life for me. Whatever I'm going through, no matter how difficult it is, even though I go through this difficult season, he will not leave me. And I will not fear. And what the devil wants to do is get you afraid. Because when he gets you afraid, you don't take steps of faith. Oh, I couldn't possibly do that. What would happen to me? Well, if God has said it's okay to jump off the building, his angels will catch hold of you and you'll be okay. We've got to trust God more. All of us. Everything's going to be okay. Somebody said that to me the other day. He said, I heard you. And you said, everything's going to be okay. You need to just think about that. Everything is going to be okay. Turn to your neighbor and say, everything's going to be okay. I might be a sheep, but I have a super shepherd. When Zoe Ball does the breakfast show. I don't listen to it anymore. I've gone off her. Breakfast show. But they've got like, she has these people ring up and she goes, that deserves her. And then she presses a tune and it was like, it's a sound effect or it's a theme tune or something. I think we should have a little thing here, just like that. So that deserves a Superman theme tune or that deserves a, I think we'll have to think about that.
You brought to mind Bob Marley.
Bob Marley.
Everything's gonna be all right.
Amen. And you know, with Christ, everything is going to be okay. With Christ, everything is going to be okay. Whenever the hardest times come, he's there the closest. The valley of the shadow of death, when life seems to be ebbing away, he's there. Trust him. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. There's no enemies in heaven. So the table is prepared here. The table represents the provision and promises of God. It's prepared before our enemies. Nobody can stop us doing what God's called us to do. The only ones that can stop us is us. when we choose not to walk by faith, when we choose not to follow, when we choose not to sacrifice, when we choose not to live godly lives, the only thing that can stop us is ourselves, because our enemies cannot stop us. There is no demon from hell. There is no person in the government. Nothing can stop the purposes of God for you. That's why we shouldn't be a victim. We shouldn't say, oh, if I was born there, or if I had this, or I have a... No, 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 you've got God. Nothing can stop God. You and God are majority. We will be successful in the presence of our enemies. You anoint my head with oil. What makes us a success is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing takes us further. The anointing breaks the yoke. You can be anointed in the workplace. You can be anointed in the home. You can be anointed wherever you go. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let me read it. You anoint my head with oil. That oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. We are an anointed people. But sometimes we just need to step out in faith. My cup overflows. I believe in prosperity. I believe that God wants your cup to overflow. Because if your cup overflows, you can fill somebody else's cup. If you're blessed, you can be a blessing. If you've got no money, if you've got nothing, how can you bless somebody else? How can you meet somebody else's need? If all you have is your needs met, how can you meet somebody else's needs? God wants us to be a blessed people. He wants the church to be blessed. He wants us to be prosperous so that we can bless others. The promise to Abraham was, I will bless you and you shall be a blessing to all the families of the earth. I want to bless the families of Bridge End, don't you? I want to bless the families of this earth, but my cup needs to overflow. Second Corinthians 9, verse 8 says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. To have all sufficiency, everything that we need to go do what God's called us to do, we will abound in all good works. You need to get a vision of being debt-free for yourself. You need to get a vision of having more than enough to pay your bills. You need to get a vision of yourself giving away money, giving away stuff, helping people. You need to see it before you can have it. God doesn't want you to just get by. He wants you to help others get by. He wants you to overflow. There's a picture in Psalm 65, verse 11 says, you crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. Imagine just bringing in the harvest and piling it into the wagons and pulling them along the tracks. But there's so much harvest in there that it just overflows. It just falls out. There's just so much that we just bless as we go. And that's a picture of what God wants for the church. That there is so much harvest in the church that we just overflow. We just bless. We just give. We just love. An abundant church. Jesus says, I have come that you might have abundant life. Finally, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely, surely. You know that word surely, it's just, isn't it obvious? Of course this is going to happen to me. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Now that word follow isn't follow the leader, as in Peter Pan following the leader, I'm following the leader. Because when you follow the leader, you never catch up with the leader because the leader's always ahead of you. That word follow is a different word. It's a word for hunting. And it means to hunt down deer. It's used in the Hebrew where you go hunting, you hunt down deer, and you catch up and overtake them, and then you fire your arrow or whatever it is, and you will kill the deer. So you think about that now with God. He's not going to shoot us with an arrow. He is going to hunt us down with his goodness. Good things happen to me all the time. I believe that's just Psalm 23 coming out. You should expect good things to happen to you. All the time. All the time good things happen to me. All the time. Turn to your neighbor and say, good things are going to happen to me. Good things happen to me. How many days it says every day of my life? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. And you know, one of the things I say to people is, if you hang around me, good things are going to happen to you. Now, at first glance, it sounds a bit arrogant for me to say that. I say, Tim, if you hang around me, good things will happen to you. But it's actually the truth. Because they don't happen to Tim because of me. They happen to Tim because of the covenant God makes with Abraham. It's a covenant of goodness. And when we sing that song, All My Life, we sung it earlier. Your goodness is running after me, running after me, running after me. It's just Psalm 23. And sometimes the kids go, oh, Dad, don't go on about those things because it sounds like I'm boasting in church. You know, and I am. But I'm boasting on the goodness of my Father. You know, he gives good things to his children. That's what Jesus says. And mercy. His mercies are new every morning. And when we sung about the blood is still flowing and still working for us because his mercy is new every morning. And it doesn't mean, you know, that nothing bad ever happens to me. I came home from work the other day. I came out of the office the other day and I looked at my car and there was a nail in the front tire and it was flat. That is not a manifestation of goodness of God. And I'm thinking, oh, my tire's flat. What am I going to do about this now? You know, and I'm thinking, oh, flat tire, just like you would. And then along came the goodness of God. Andrew turns up. He goes, let's change the tire. Won't take us long. Yeah, okay, let's change the tire, Andrew. We'll do it together. You do it and I'll stand and I'll encourage you. And then 5 minutes later, he's gone, there you go, change tire. And I'm thinking, oh, I've got to go. I've got an appointment at 9 and I've got to go to the tire shop and everything. And then Andrew goes, why don't you go to Celtic Tires? They're open till 5:30. Pretty quiet at 5:30. So I said, okay, I'll go to Celtic Tires. And off I went. 5:25, I walk into the workshop. 5:30, I'm out with a new tire. No, not with a puncture repaired tire, what have you. But it's just like, I could have wallowed in the flat tire. But good things happen to me. So Andrew turns up, the goodness of God changes my life just for that split second. And so what I mean by that is this, we live in a sinful, fallen world. Stuff happens to everybody. Everybody. Stuff happens to our families as well. I can't stop the stuff happening, but I do believe good things are going to come. I do believe it's going to turn around. I do believe God is on my case, following me with his goodness. Every setback I have, I know God is going to turn it around. Every disappointment I face, I know God's going to turn it around. And when you have this inner confidence that your Father is good to you, whatever the devil throws at you, whatever he tries to steal from you, whatever he tries to lie about, it doesn't matter. Everything turns around for the good to those who love him. He's going to turn it around. And, you know, I want to encourage you to just look for God's goodness every day. Every day. You know, just a few weeks ago, I said to the team, we haven't got any meals. People take us out for meals when we go to Korea. Let's pray for some meals. And day after day, people were taking us out for food. And we had some fantastic food out there. I'm sitting eating this stuff. I don't even, you know, you don't even know what some of it is. But it's just like the goodness of God that I'm sitting there in Korea. But you know, Korea was yesterday. Today, good things are going to happen to me. Tomorrow, good things are going to happen to me. The day after, good things are going to happen to me. Every day, God is working to get goodness to me. Expect God to turn things around. Expect God to fulfill his promise. And then it says that I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you know, he's building a temple. And it's not bricks and mortar, it's people. And there's something, a privilege we have that we can come together. And one of the lies out there is that, you know, church doesn't really matter. You can have faith. You can believe in Jesus. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to be part of a community. And it's just a lie from the pit of hell. People are buying it and their faith will be shipwrecked down because we need one another. We need one another. We're a people. God calls us to be a people, not individuals. And so, we've got a good God. And he loves us dearly. And he wants to shepherd us and lead us into pastures green and still waters. And you might be in the valley of the shadow of death, but you'll come through it if you trust him. You come out the other side and everything's going to be okay. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your goodness. I want to thank you that you've brought us here to this place. Father, thank you that I can say with confidence, everything's going to be okay. Bless your name. Thank you for your goodness. And just want to say that I love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. There's tea and coffee. It'd be really great if you could stay.